This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Cosmic Eye Monthly Forecast, Scorpio Season 2020. So we have a special guest here tonight to fill in for Tony, Stormy Grace of Stormy Grace Astrology. Hi, Stormy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, so pumped to be here. Yay.
Yay. And of course, myself, Vanessa Montgomery of Astro All Stars. So we have our segments for you today is we're going to be talking about the Scorpio solar season, the monthly moons, new and full, the headline signatures, the opportunities, and what we're reading, key takeaway, and monthly mantras. So let's kick it off by talking about the Scorpio solar season. So keywords, of course, is a Stormy.
Oh, deep, intense. Deep, yes. Right. Transformative, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Very metaphysical too, isn't it? All the hidden, like dig. What is hidden? What can I find? Going for the secrets.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite passionate. I think about the passion that lives with Scorpio energy. It's very passionate, and that is sometimes super great and sometimes super challenging, but passionate and provocative nonetheless.
Yep. Yep. And I guess the pitfalls being obsession, and that there's that real power with Scorpio, isn't it? Like ruled by Pluto, there's that power, and power can be very difficult to control, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, and I think of, you know, when power is hard to control is when it's repressed, or I'm jealous, or I'm in a resentment, and then I get vindictive, or, you know, because power does, those things have power as well. And they live, Scorpio's not afraid to go to hell and back. I'm not afraid to go to jealousy as a Scorpio, just as well as I'm, you know, okay with going to the light.
Yeah. Yep. The transformation. I think of the classic Scorpio, Brené Brown, who's literally was a shame and vulnerability researcher. And yeah, living the Scorpio dream, digging down into those things and bringing them to the light for all of us and giving us a language and words and, you know, that it's okay. So it's definitely a month to dig into the Brené Brown to get us through.
Yeah. Yeah. And Matthew McConaughey, he's so funny because, you know, I think of the elimination systems as well with Scorpio. And he says, you know, the first step that leads to our identity in life is usually not knowing who I am, but knowing who I'm not. It's like process of elimination. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. And elimination being a key word.
Yeah.
Scorpio as well.
He talks.
And when we were talking about Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Matthew. And you, and I was thinking, yeah, let's channel our favorite Scorpio, our spirit Scorpio, and think what would Matthew do? Yes. I'm going to think, what would Brené Brown do right now?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And I mean, you know, we think about them, these people sometimes as just celebs or, you know, even just people in our community. If you've got a spirit Scorpio in your community, and it's like, think about things that they say and the way that they move, because they're literally showing you an embodiment of that energy, and you can bring that in. I mean, how cool.
And I must say, thinking of people that I know that are Scorpios, that's a good point. Something that I think of straight away is how, like, they are survivors. They can survive anything, and they'll go to the edge, and they won't shy away from it, and they'll come out like reborn. It's true, that rebirth idea about Scorpios and transformation, they really do. I had a Scorpio auntie that she had cancer for a long time, and she just beat it so many times. I'm like, you cannot kill a Scorpio. And she loved it, of course.
Yeah.
So strong, just can survive so much. And I guess that's one of the key words is I survive for Scorpio. And you had a few key words too.
Yeah.
Like I am.
I am. I desire. I desire. Scorpios are really creative people as well, you know, so I feel a little bit like I create should be one that is available there as well.
Yep. Yeah. New life. Like that rebirth.
Yeah. I think fear is a good Scorpio word as well, you know, mostly because they are pretty discerning with what to do with that. Like, you know, some mm-hmm. you embrace and it's like, okay, I'm going to embrace this and come to the other side. And the other one, it's like, okay, that's just fear talking and it doesn't need my attention. So I always find that Scorpio's ability to do that during the season, to have it come up and discern, is this the embrace or is this the turn it away from it, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And sometimes I think they will go into it because it's like Aries, you know, they were both ruled by Mars in traditional astrology and there's that bravery, like I'll go into this and I will survive and I'll be transformed by it. Sometimes really attracted to that darker, more mysterious, difficult journey, like that hero's journey kind of idea. And at this point, fixed water sign. So that fixed element, like being able to endure something and just stick with it. And it's that sticking with it, I think, that really gets them through.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, and I mean, you think about the rulers, you know, I don't know that you get if you're looking at it in modern energy, right, you get Pluto and Mars together. And that is... It's deeply healing and transformative, but it's pretty extreme. That's pretty extreme. But I always laugh with people when we talk about Scorpio energies being ruled by Pluto and Mars, because I'm like, it's really like you need it, you know. Pluto is, I teach it as the phoenix energy, you know, it dies off in this form so that it can live in the other. But if you don't have Mars to also help, you just kind of have a dead bird. So they like all work together.
Yeah, because you want to push through. It's
going.
The Pluto feels like it just keeps going into the dark and deep and tunneling, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Happily too, right? Like, oh. Yeah,
okay. Loving it. What else can we find down there?
The depths of your soul, yeah.
Dungeon of the soul, the dungeon under the dungeon, the hidden. I've been watching a lot on ancient Egypt, the hidden tomb beneath the hidden tomb.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Well, that's a really good, I love that you're saying that, because it is like that. It is the hidden tomb. We were talking a little bit before about how some of the interactions this year have pushed us to kind of take some things on. And it is that hidden tomb of like, what do I really desire? And it's down there and it's at like the bottom of everything. And it is probably the thing I'm the most afraid of, because I'm actually built to do it. You know, built to have that and to really, I don't know, maybe it's not that way for everybody, but for me, the thing that I am just like so built at that deep, passionate, desiry level is terrifying and wonderful.
Yes. Well, I love that you said that actually. There's a quote I can't think of now, but something about, the thing we're most afraid of, you know, is our own power. And I mean, that's Pluto, isn't it? It's that atomic power source. It's just, that's such a key word too, is power. So own your power. And you were saying, like, in Scorpio season, this might be a great time to dig down and clear out blocks to that and find it and use this season to actually get back in the saddle and clear the way, because it's been such a tough year, especially this the whole year, but this month as well. This past weekend even has had a lot of people in tears, and really it's been very tumultuous for a Libra season. But so why not just like dig down into it and face it over Scorpio season and come out, you know, fighting.
Yeah. Well, and I think like, it's so funny. I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, oh my God, neither of us said it. But I also think, you know, of course, intimacy, like you see into me that deeper place of intimacy, but sex, right? Scorpio season, sex, and beyond just the sex, but the intimacy that comes with our sexual energy, you know, that root chakra, like, is that thing burning and alive with you? Which doesn't mean, you know, you're hanging from chandeliers or whatever you do, but simply this creative energy, because from that that sexual energy, we create life, and we create life in our career. We create life in our money. We create life in the world, right? So yeah, I don't think we should set that word aside, because it's a nice word too.
And it's true. And the vulnerability, as Renee sounds, says, that goes yeah. with that. And we do need to put our shields down for a minute, I think, and come yeah. together. It's that real merging, isn't it, where you let everything go. It's so essential for life and community, mm-hmm. communion also.
Yeah,
I think of in terms of the dark, like, it's so interesting that Scorpio hosts Halloween, the season of yeah. the witch. And all that visual stuff that's really witchy and dark, and the yeah. ghouls and the ghosts and the other side. It's such a mainstream celebration of actually the metaphysical world that's often not acknowledged or shunned in a lot of our society, our Western society. And it's yeah. just, it's all the archetypes of Scorpio. So I love that the solar season, it, you know, it does represent that journey of the sun. That's how we relate to our seasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Scorpio season, at least in the northern hemisphere, the sun has gone down into the longer nights. So people yeah. have to prepare for that descent. So it's like we're at the door now of that long winter. You know, we're preparing, the trees are stripping back to, you know, and that's so scorpionic too. They're pulling in their nutrients, they're stripping back, they're dropping yeah. their leaves. And, you know, that's us preparing for that winter. You know, these days it's much easier, but there is a withdrawing of energy. And, you know, in the southern hemisphere here, of course, we have reverse seasons and we're coming into spring and summer. So it's really, it's yeah. Taurus season for us. Right. yeah.
yeah.
But we can celebrate that in the polarity of the full moon in Taurus. So mm-hmm. for me, that's a focus. That's, I think, that way really reverse seasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, and going on the full moon. But yeah, the witches and such an ancient nature-based celebration and festival that Halloween is based on Samhain, I think it's pronounced.
Samhain, yep.
Mm-hmm. Samhain, the pagan celebration. And then, you know, in Mexico, you've got the Day of the Dead is around the same time. In India, we have Diwali, which is on
the celebration of light, which I yeah. love. Yeah.
Which is based on the moon of the season, but that's basically the same thing, and just saying the light. It's celebrating the strength of the light over the dark, and consciousness over ignorance as yeah. well. And I think it's, you know, it's interesting. It's like a worldwide celebration. It's just so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I did some, I can't remember if it was last year or maybe the year before, but just inviting more subscribers and listeners to tell me about festivals and things that were happening, yeah. you know, in their cultures to kind of understand it. And Diwali was the one, just like, I don't know, it just hit me a little bit different, because this idea, you know, that this being comes and would create wreckage and wreak havoc, and they figured out if they shone enough light on it that very same being couldn't create wreckage and havoc, but instill, like, created this change and this time of deeply working together, excitement, intimacy, like, we're going to shine so much light over here. It's like extreme, you know, to keep that at bay or transform it during the season. And I thought, yeah, Scorpio season.
Yeah. Isn't it? So yeah. Everyone has this language for a certain archetype that we're calling Scorpio in Western astrology. Sure. The other thing I was thinking about, the Day of the Dead and a lot of these, same with the All Saints and Samhain, you know, Halloween, they're all about, it gives a time and a place to respect the dead, to reflect, yeah. to just connect in with our ancestors. And I think that's quite beautiful in itself. And it's that old way of, it's not just one life, it continues. And I think when you think like that, there's less angst and fear of death. There's a respect and, like, a love there and a connection. So Scorpio season certainly brings us that. So although, in, you know, in the West, we've really lost touch with that, but it's, I wanted to remind everything that's a nice thing to do, particularly probably on the new moon, but mm-hmm. yeah, on Halloween. So A lot of these cultures put food out, they put lights out, they some in like make a place at the table and invite, you know, the ancestors in, and it's very positive. Like the fear isn't there, it's more of a love. And yeah, I thought that was, I felt quite warm reading that, you know, because we all have people that have passed on, and it's just a nice way to connect and celebrate all together.
Sure. Well, and it's like, it's a beautiful way to regard the thing that needs to and has to happen anyway. So as we come upon this, because it is that honoring of the dead, it's like at this time, you don't just die off and transform into something else. You honor the things that have come with you thus far and let them pass on to what they need to be next so you can continue your work, right? Like, so I think in a very personal way, even in our homes here in the West or wherever you practice the Scorpio season, we get to do that in a way that's like, yeah, I'm not who I was last Scorpio season, or, you know, I don't have some of these things, beliefs, relationships in my life, and it's okay. Like, it's actually okay for things to die off. So it's like, it's such a nice honoring in this season that is also quite lively. You know, that Halloween moon will have the sun opposing, the sun in Scorpio opposing Uranus and Taurus. Like, that's exciting. Yes. This is so exciting.
Let's go into that, the monthly moon segment. Exactly, the full moon on Halloween. How awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's not too much about that moon that I don't think is fascinating, but also because it does happen on Halloween, it's like, you know, we're getting this extra bit of light because we get the full moon, the most light that we have at any time. So it's like, even as the sun goes down, we have this immense amount of light shown on the things that are supposed to be dark and creepy and death and between the worlds, you know? So that is like an incredible energy, I think, to see happening while the sun is just beaming its scorpionic story, you know?
Yep. And expect the unexpected, because Uranus is exactly conjunct. The moon is at 8 degrees with the sun on the 31st in Northern. So that will be the 1st actually of November in Australia. But yeah, same. So expect the unexpected. If people dress up, there's going to be some extra kooky outfits. I guess there won't be very much out and about depending on where people live. But yeah, very interesting, done different, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that, you know, I think about, because it is the lunar event itself. One of the things I think of is just like on the inside, we might have this unpredictable, like instability that's kind of in there, where it's like, whoa, some things in my physical Taurus earth energy material world are feeling a little unstable, and I'm not sure what to do with that. Or the energy is just so high that night, plus it's Halloween, and I'm feeling a little impatient or unsettled or something like that. You know, I think about all of those things that can rapidly, if we're not being flexible, if we're not trying to be adaptable to what's going on, it can very easily rapidly turn into something else, especially because the sun activated like that. If you get into a space of fear and I make a decision out of fear, like that can, it's like it can catch fire, right?
Especially at the moment. Yeah.
And Mercury's retrograde squaring Saturn at that time. So the opportunity for a misunderstanding and an argument or pessimism are very available. At the same time, though, it's not all bad, but we just need to recognize that things are flipped around. Taurus is this energy of relationships and money and structures and things like that. Venus is happy up there in Libra. So we know there's likely at this moon, a conversation, a previous conversation about a relationship or things that are not in balance. And so we're going to have to seriously look at that. But we've also got some challenges at the moon, right? That are like, hold on, we might be having a misunderstanding.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And having to definitely do things differently. Yeah, it's interesting that Uranus with the Taurus, it's such a stable table sign, so fixed. And then, Uranus is going to come and flip that table over.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, I just think because the real, like, that heat of the motivation against that stable table that's been the same forever, you know, co-ruler to that Scorpio sun is Mars, and he's retrograde. Yep. So we could, you know, it's, I don't want to always be just talking about the United States, but I'm like, look, we have this situation going on with our mail and the election.
Mercury retrograde.
All of this stuff is like primed, even as we're coming into this 31st moon that is usually just so stable. Taurus is just living his best life. And now he's being shaken, not stirred by Uranus. And the sun is like, oh, I'm about to Scorpio this situation. Mm-hmm. So there's this intensity that I think comes with it at this time.
Yeah, we're going to transform things. Things are going to change around here.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so may as well be on board with it. I guess the thing is, you know, don't resist change, don't resist progressiveness. That's Uranus, isn't it? It's extremely progressive. So be the progressiveness, or resistance is futile, that's for sure, with the outer planets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and like, you know, I think about Scorpio's at emotional depth. So you'll be down there in it, or wherever your Scorpio energies are at. But Uranus is not always, it's not always the best at being deep. So it's like, I almost wonder if in that opposition there isn't this kind of discomfort, because I'm having a hard time expressing emotionally what I'm watching happen out, you know? So it's like, kind of stuck a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe interpretive dance. I always go to that.
Yeah.
Can you express your emotions? Yeah, because they'll be very heightened. Full moon is heightened emotions. And with, that Uranus, it's like, what's going to, like, what has to come out?
Mm-hmm.
I also think, like, you know, just generally that full moon or the lunar cycle, when you have that full moon every month, it's the harvest or the blossoming from 6 months ago when it was new moon in Taurus. So think back to 6 months ago. What seeds were you planting? What was happening then? I can't remember if it was actually near Uranus that time. I have a feeling it might have been. I didn't check. But, yeah, it's another moment to reflect what's the harvest that you've been wanting since then. If you do new moon intentions, which I always do, like a little bit of wish setting, have a check on what that is. Look and, you know, prime your mind to, or your subconscious to look for that to be revealed under the light of the full moon. So that you spot it and don't miss it, because it's probably there.
Yeah.
So that's a positive.
That's brilliant.
Let's go to the new moon, which is going to be in Scorpio.
Yeah. I'll just
bring that up on my little photo album. Oh, yeah. So that's got some really beautiful aspects, actually. It's at 23 degrees on, where's that new moon?
You're like, it's hiding out.
November 15.
Yep. So 14, 15, depending on where you are. But yep.
Yeah. Or 16th, probably in Australia.
Yeah. It's not one that I think is, I actually think that it is a fantastic moon for kind of like, I feel a little conquery, you know, like go get it, like go do it. Mars has also come out of retrograde. This is definitely a forward moving moon, you know, just a couple days before we had Jupiter Pluto come into conjunction. So this is like success. Is at the fingertips of the transformation at this point. So I really, I'm a fan.
I'm a fan too. It's only got positive or easy flow aspects. It's the sun and moon conjunct, new moon. It's sextiling its ruler. So the moon and sun are at 23 Scorpio. Pluto is at 22 Capricorn. And it's sextiling also that Jupiter and Saturn, that trine to Neptune. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Earth and water. It's very, I think, great for manifesting. Yeah. Bring out your power. Bring out, just, I think, set intentions for, I always think, own your power or someone else will own it and use it against you. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think that's a beautiful, easy flow, thankfully. And
me too.
Mid-November. Nice. That's a nice one.
Plus, I always I laugh because I teach when we're talking about sextiles and how to use them. I'm like, well, when the planets have sex, that's good for us.
Well, I always say something simple. I'm like, sextiles, it's as good as it sounds. I slip that in. Some people miss it, but I always have a little chuckle. Yeah, it's as good as it sounds, isn't it, right? The planets are getting along so well.
Yes. And it's funny because if you think about so I teach that it's not only the pocket of opportunity that's there, but then we intelligently take action to make that thing happen. Mm. Because when's the last time you had sex and nobody moved? Mm. Right. That doesn't work. Right. That's not it. Like if there's going to be some sex in, there's going to be some motion, even if you're doing it by yourself, somebody's got to move. So it's like the opportunity has been provided and now you have to move towards it.
It definitely works better if there's a bit of action.
Because if not, I think it's just what is it? It's just fantasizing, right?
Well, if you've got a lot of Neptune and Pisces, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Neptune is involved, in fact, in Pisces. So there is that. But yes.
Yes. So a good moon for getting it done, I fully support. But at this point, too, because we've had such a journey through Scorpio season, I think, and that sextile with Pluto. We have a sense, a deeper sense of our inner resources, not only, but also what I want, what I'm willing to put in all this work to achieve my goals or to be focused on them. But I know maybe a little bit more about also what I want or what motivates me, So, and Scorpio season, if I've spent some time eliminating the clutter and detoxing my world a little bit, it's also easier to see what I don't want, which brings me back to Matthew McConaughey. And that sometimes is just how I know what I do. Because I just am like
spirit Scorpio.
Right. Like my spirit Scorpio, Matthew McConaughey is like, well, Stormy, you're never going to wear those pants again because it turns out you're not 20. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't actually even want that, which is funny. Yes. Side note, I was having this whole biological mom moment where I was watching these women around me have babies. And I don't want to do that anymore. I'm so good. I have a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old. I am so good, right? But I was like, I think I should really talk to my husband because maybe I do. Maybe we've got it in us, right? And then this whole spiritual side of me was like, we don't want to do that at all. And I'm like, oh yeah, oh God. Right? And it's like just subtle little moments like that where I'm like, sometimes I have to explore what I think I want to find out I don't want it, or I have to be where I don't want to see what I do want.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, process of elimination and by contrast as well, isn't it? We do understand the world quite often by that contrast. Yeah. Our nervous system knows hot and cold because there's a hot and a cold, mm-hmm. things like that. Yeah, yeah. I agree. Oh, well, it's definitely going to be a positive one. I'm looking forward to it. And something I want to say here is, because there have been so many hardcore challenging aspects all year, and those Mars squares to the Capricorn planets over the last little while, there's always, Tony and I have been bringing up the opportunities, and I have been marking them in my diary, and I can feel it. I can feel when we've got those beautiful trines and sextiles as well. I can certainly feel when we don't, but they are there to lean into, which we will get to soon. But yeah, something to remember. So that new moon, you'll be able to, you'll have a sense of it, I think. We'll have that sense of ease. It just feels, you can breathe out and it feels good. So make the most of it. Make the connections, make the deep connections with yourself and amplify them, those connections with other people, really, because that Neptune's there to dissolve those boundaries as well. In that water sign, emotional connecting. I know something I've been doing is, there's been so much divisiveness, and I've just been saying, well, I'm just going to go the opposite and lean into that Neptune and Pisces and tell everyone I love them, which is not something I normally do, but I'm just, got to amplify it to sort of, I guess, balance out how divisive everything is. And it's very easy to get sucked into that vortex. And that obviously just makes the beast even stronger. So going the other way.
Yeah, Absolutely. Mm. Well, and, you know, thank goodness, I think in a way, you know, they're all opportunities. I teach you don't get weird during a retrograde, you get wise. We've just, you know, by the time the 13th rolls around, Mars has just really been in Aries for a long time. I think even for our Aries friends, they're like, move on. You know, so it's like, oh my gosh, there's been this concentrated amount of energy that we're trying to figure out what to do with. And then we get to this moon energy and we start to move and truck forward. And it's like, we can take that hot focused Mars energy on the road now and actually get some results from all the reflection and all of the taking the higher road that we have really put in, you know? All of the frustration that's kind of been held there, the inhibition to, I'm never going to be able to move forward. We get to see it be something. And that is a deep breath underneath it. Cause that's the other thing I think I want to just remind people too, you know, these Mars Saturn squares, we're going to continue them in 2021, by the way. Yep. But Saturn just doesn't always show up as this dictator. Mars is not always the unruly kid. Sometimes they just got to come together because they don't agree on the strategy.
Mm.
No, and they're like, re-look at that. I'm not saying no, I'm saying not yet. If you really want this and want it to last, mm-hmm. hold the space on it and let's re-look at that thing.
Yes. So we are into the give me the headlines, key signatures. We are definitely there. Mars is going direct this month and we've gone into it. And this is something Stormy and I were talking about before we started recording, the positive side of that, those Mars squares. You know, Mars is impatient, wants action. The Capricorn planets, you know, it's about, you know, what is worth sticking with? Like what's worth doing mm-hmm. over time? I think that actions now will have long-lasting consequences. And the positive of it is like, what's the challenge? What's this big challenge you can take on? And I asked you, Stormy, have you taken on something? And you have. And I thought it was a really great positive example of how to use that square.
Yeah.
So what have you taken on?
Yeah, well, I actually took on learning another language. I took on learning Korean, and I have always wanted to be a polyglot, and I have a couple other languages under my belt. And so getting them all really refined and making sure my fluency is strong, or seeing the honesty under these squares as well, where my fluency in the other languages that I'm stronger at is not strong enough, you know? And so putting that together, and it's beautiful because as these have come and we're in heavy retrograde, instead of starting something new, which can be really hard, that can be so hard under those energies, coming back to something that was awakened in me. It was like this band that I love, the thing is they hit an inspiration point and I woke up, like I massively, intensely woke up and I'm like, how did I forget that this is a love of my life, that language is a love of my life? So coming back to it now has been single focused intensity. My learning is quick. My speaking with native speakers already, you know, is in here, and it's a bit more fearless than I think it would have been under different circumstances. But when we're awakened, we're awakened, you know?
Yeah. And when you've got that, like that's over time. It's like a really big commitment. And yeah, I think that is all the Capricorn planets, isn't it? Like you've given yourself a challenge rather than try to burst against like or waste it on something, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like this energy has to find a some kind of mission or goal that's worthy, like a worthy journey. Yeah. A worthy mountain to scale, you know, Mars climbing up that Capricorn mountain, perhaps that's mm-hmm. quite, what would you call it? That's looks scary. It looks unscalable, but with that square, that if anything's going to have the energy to scale something that's very difficult, it's that square. And of course, squares are tension, which need to be expressed with energy. Like you don't just sit in a time of a square. So for people that have been, maybe just notice if that's being used wisely or not, but because it has to out, doesn't it? That energy has to out. And I've definitely taken on things with that consciously, because I know the astrology, things that I've been avoiding because it's confrontational and it's difficult and it's like that Marsy Pluto energy, but I've just put it behind me and owned that I can't be a calm energy. I'm just like, I've got that energy, but that's what's pushed me through, and I can't show up and be very, I can be civil, but it's very short. And that energy is just like that Pluto, Marsy. Yes, it's not like convivial Venus. But, you know, what could you do with that energy behind you that you normally wouldn't, you know, use it to propel you into something? So, yeah, new projects, going back to something that might need that extra oomph is definitely the way to do it, not just sort of spray it everywhere to get it out. That's just going to create a lot of problems. So with Mars going direct, of course, on the 13th, depending where you are. And you mentioned just before the new moon, yes. Like it's going to make those squares again. And like Stormy said, taking us right through to next year. So, you know, you're going to have a few bumps to keep pushing you forward. So make sure you do choose something that's going to last over time and don't avoid what you know you need to do. Or passionately want to, like Stormy with your seventh language, including astrology,
which is so cool. I didn't even think about that when you said that. I was like, yeah, wow, I didn't even think about that. But it is its own whole reading of characters and symbols, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a symbolic language, because I only know English, but I'm like, no, I know two languages, the symbolic language of astrology.
Which is brilliant. And you know what? It's interesting too, because under just natally anyways, people with Mars, Saturn make some really great long lasting contributions. And I think about Stephen Arroyo. We got a lot of work out of that particular human in this field.
Yeah. Well, you can't just ignore the squares, that you have to do something with it.
Yeah.
They're not lazy. It just takes that effort to direct them and deal with that inner tension that person has.
Yeah. Beautiful. Ugh.
So what are our other headlines this week? This month, we have got Mercury going direct to Mars. They're definitely headlines. Of course, Mercury going direct in Scorpio. Is it the day before the US election or the day?
Well, so Mercury for us here in the States is actually going to come direct at 26 Libra. So we're still even further back. Like he hasn't even, by the time the 3rd we get to the election, he's not in that forward path. He's not even stepped back into Scorpio quite yet. He does that a week later, which is interesting because it's, you know, Mercury direct. And we've already seen this little snafu situation back in 2000 with an election where Mercury was stationing, which essentially means the energy of the day too, or decisions of the day, will station or stand still. So we've got all of this going on, you know what I mean? And then Mercury is going to, of course, get moving that week later. But you know what I do think is good about that particular directness as it comes is that we know because it's 26 degrees Libra that once it gets back to 12 degrees of Scorpio, then we can get the answers that we need.
Yes. It's like things will slowly become apparent, won't they? Mm-hmm. That's the feeling.
Yeah, because with any planet, but I think we feel Mercury quite intensely, and that's an intense day anyways, you know, but with any planet, they have to like station. And I always say, you know, you have to give Mercury time to have his cosmic latte and like wake up and get his life together before you're coming over here asking for all of his blessings and stuff. Cause he's like, I just woke up. Like when people run up to me, when I just wake up and they're like, I'm like, back up, you know? And I feel like Mercury kind of comes under fire that particular day as well. But as he gets going, then it's like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I can review and see to your needs.
Yeah. Mercury will finally start talking and tell us what's up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just pay attention out there, everybody, after he gets past 12 degrees, because, you know, Mercury could come direct on the 3rd and you're like, my life looks the same, you know, and it might, but after it gets past 12 degrees, then we're solidly in that forward motion again.
Yeah. In the meantime, just know that more information comes to light, doesn't it? Over that Mercury retrograde mm-hmm. period, more information comes to light. It's also in Scorpio. So a few secrets revealed, I'm thinking, and perhaps know there's things that we are unaware of happening as well, which I would say will end up being revealed just mm-hmm. because it's all happening in the Mercury retro and then direct. So yeah. Double check everything, of course. I've already had a few mishaps because it's retrograding in my sixth house of work. So right now my camera's not working.
And we're making it work anyways, aren't we?
Yes, we're just going for it. So, yeah, I was saying we're being because Stormy's camera was coming out too, like falling out on mine at least, and was saying, yep, it's stealth mode, Scorpio. We're doing this like we can't see each other. We're just like feeling our way in the dark here and doing a great job of it anyway.
Yeah, I think we are. I think we're in the undercover stealthy mode, making it work. And that is just what I think most people are doing. My husband is really funny. He's like he's an Aries and under, you know, all of these energies as well. He's like, most days right now, I feel like I'm going out in the world cleverly disguised as a productive human being, just really trying to figure out what to do with all of this energy.
Yes. I'm and like, it's been so much.
Awesome.
Yes. Now, what else do we have? In terms of the outer planets, we just have Jupiter is conjunct Pluto as a exact at 22 Capricorn. That's on the November the 12th.
Yeah.
So it's Jupiter and Pluto. Jupiter amplifies Plutonic Capricornian issues. What have you, are you expecting anything for that in particular? Because I always think Jupiter makes things maybe lighter, but this year I've really seen Jupiter in Capricorn has just exaggerated the limitation of Capricorn and made it even more intense.
Well, I think yes and no. So my explanation or I guess experience of this is, you know, because this is the last of the three that we'll have this year. So as they met before, they were both out of retrograde and they met in June and they were both retrograde and now they're out of retrograde again at their last meeting. So it's almost, I feel like for people this year, you could tap into, okay, well, what did you start and try to amplify and try to get focused? You were driven. I teach this as like the Sonic the Hedgehog energy, because he gets the chaos diamond. Like he literally eats this diamond that is called chaos, but he takes it and he goes and collects all of these coins and he's moving at like life speed and he's like passionate, but he's like literally taking the chaos and turning it into something productive and profitable and confident, right? And so I ask people, you know, in that area of your chart, when they met up at first, what'd you start? What happened when you ate that first dose of chaos? Because there was chaos going on in the world when they met. They met in April. We got shut in our houses, right? The world was going crazy. So what'd you munch on? Because then in June, as they were both retrograde, you got to relook at that and go, whoa, hold on. I'm like so fat. I ate so much, you know, like what happened? What's going on? I need to revise this in some way because we're retro, you know? And now with that revision, that set of revisions met, it's culmination. It's like brings it full circle this year. Now you can see what it's going to be next and live that into the next 13 years of your story, which I think is just gorgeous because if you ate the chaos and turned it into something productive, it can be life changing. You know, at their conjunction as well, I just want to point out, I don't use them a ton, but Pallas Athena, the asteroid, will be there. And she is a gangster, an absolute strategist. She is so good at making a plan, making the strategy, seeing the networks and connections. So as they're conjuncting here, it is like courage, strategy, warfare, which we hear warfare and it's like in the world that can sound crazy right now, but you got to have a little chutzpah to keep going with the things you're passionate about, right? Pallas was also highly creative on top of that intelligence. So I'm like, what happened for you? In the world, we saw some very specific things happen. We saw the stimulus package come right away in April. We saw that come out under this conjunction, you know. Then we had the stock, we started having the talks about reviewing the stimulus package here in June. And, you know, so at a global level, at least here in the States, does that come back out? You know, so there are some mundane things. Sorry, I just went on a tangent.
That's not a tangent. I think that's great. You're right. So Jupiter is abundance, isn't it? It's abundance factor. Pluto is like the resources, the vault with all the resources and the energy, which is money. Capricorn, you know, the government. I think you've got a good point there. So on a larger level, yeah, I wonder what other sort of abundance will be released. And then in our own personal lives, yeah, what did you tap into? Maybe what did you lean into to get you through? Like so many people started discovering their creative side.
Yeah.
Or something else they wanted to do, their side hustle that actually they're really passionate about, going back to your aligning that sort of that passion moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And amplifying it. So this is the third go. And I think in the area of life, like even in January when these planets were all pretty much conjunct, what area of life is that? You'll know the thing that you have been wanting to do. Like I know what mine is. And it's, yeah, keep at it. Use the energy for it. Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Absolutely. It's the beginnings of new cycles. What is the new thing? What is the new cycle? Don't try to keep doing that old thing anymore that you used to do. That's the end of that cycle. That's wound down now. At least take it, evolve it to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and in the, you know, I go back sometimes to the myths that we have surrounding it. And it's like, I think specifically with those two coming together, Pallas being there, you know, that very Zeus and Pallas relationship, right? You know, Zeus as the authority and what does that look like? But Pallas was born of Zeus's head. It was like this experience that he thought into existence, but literally had to be split to bring her here. You know, so you know, wherever you're at in the world, wherever you're listening, what's that a Zeus energy, that authoritative energy that you've just split? It split and it left an opening for you.
Yeah.
It left an opening for you and your ideas. And I've seen people studying astrology, tarot, yes. Reiki, healing. I've even seen people studying astrology and taking it into business.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like it's just like, oh, this breakdown has left that crack that's just the size of me.
I totally agree with that. Like I like that crack analogy because it has made this crack and it's made something maybe permeable where it wasn't before. And it is business oriented because everyone has had to, but also opportunity because technologies rush to jump into that crack and that void. So it's so much easier for us. Like I started a podcast because it's so easy now. I've wanted to do interview things forever, but it's just like it's landed down in our laps that we can just jump in and pivot now so yeah. easily if we can make that time aside of our work that we already do or maybe people have got like this massive opening because their work has changed so much or don't have it anymore. And it's true. I've seen like a lot of my clients are just like they are like astrology is now a vocation. Like they're just like, yep, taking it really seriously as this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. Same with the tarot, same with the people doing illustration. It's totally about business, I think. So that long game at Saturn, you need to have the structure and you need to think really seriously about it. And it's an amazing opportunity to start it at the beginning of this cycle with Jupiter and Pluto behind you. Yeah. Like that's a formidable team.
Sure. And then that moon just ushers in that sun sextile to both Jupiter and Pluto, who've just done this magical thing in your life. And in the energy of Scorpio, that new moon, the depth of that, I think we find ourselves globally and personally asking the question of, okay, is what I'm doing, does it speak to my success? Right? Does it feel like I can continue to be successful here? Does it align with my principles? You know, does this align with the principles of my life anymore?
New cycle. What are you letting go of with the Scorpio? It'll be easy. So I'll say the dates for those easy energies. So this there's the Sun trine Neptune on November 10. at 18 Scorpio to 18 Pisces. Then we've got Sun sextile Pluto, November 14, 22 Scorpio, 22 Capricorn. Then we've got the Sun sextile Jupiter, November 14 as well. Mark it in your diaries. That's what I'll be doing. And just notice the feeling as well. 23 Scorpio, 23 Capricorn, and then Sun sextile Saturn, November 19, exact, but obviously over that period because there'll be an orb. Sun 27 Scorpio, Saturn 27 Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best of the easy fest for sure. Scorpio season.
Oh, can I throw one date in there? Just one?
Yes.
Okay, so October 24th. I know where the sun's just coming to Scorpio, but I'm so pumped about it. On the 24th, we've got Venus in a trine to Saturn. So they're, you know, they're going to do Virgo Capricorn at, I think, 26 degrees. So I love this trine because I feel like if you wanted to make a commitment, even with all of this retrograde stuff going on, if you want to make a commitment, you want to take on something serious, you want to make promises and good commitment to yourself or to others under this energy, it is solid. It is long-term. It will be lasting. So if you've got something you've got going on that day, that's the day to make the deal.
Yeah. And I always say, like, notice what drops in your lap. Like the trines can be real gifts that drop in your lap or your email box. So note what comes in on that day or leading up to that day around that time in those areas of life. Trines are just, they're blessings, aren't they? And from Venus, thank you.
Thank you. Right. Yeah. She's like literally magnetizing this to you through the, and it's in Earth, Virgo and Capricorn in Earth. This is, I mean, we could literally see it in the Earth signs. We could see this being some lovely promise or commitment made in the material plane. Earth signs love the material plane, you know, so just pay attention, mark it down.
Yes. Enjoy and that. It's like Venus and to Saturn in Capricorn. So it could be a money or business opportunity, or you could use that date to reach out to someone or apply to something or So just note what that is. And it's a good observational way to understand astrology from an embodied experiential place as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got, there's quite a lot of, in terms of the challenges, there's, you know, we've then Venus goes into and rounds it off at the end of the month to say, how much do you really want that? Mm-hmm. Squares Saturn.
She's like, thank you for the trine. Also,
yeah, let's see if you really, how much do you want this? Here's a little challenge. So, yeah, November 19th, Venus does square Saturn,
which is, I think, a waking up. Like, I would love to describe that really quickly as the waking up. Like, you made this commitment. Yes, it's good. And then, like, the rose colored glasses come off, and you're like,
gotta do some work.
I really married you. I'm going to really do some work. Right?
Oh, that's like, what you look like in the morning.
Right. Right. Those are not your eyelashes. It's all off. No, just kidding.
Yeah. Reality check. It's a reality check. That is absolutely it. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. I might note that too. And Venus has got, then, yeah, Venus does have a few. There's a square to Pluto, square to Jupiter. Opposite Mars, opposite Chiron, just as we go through the month, and a couple with Mercury. But yeah, it's a bit of a Venusian last month as well. Venus had some beautiful trines, and now she's hitting a few of the squares.
Sure. and as that Mercury retrograde, which is its own special sauce of challenge, went from Scorpio back into Libra on the 27th, on that same day, Venus jumped into Libra. So it was comfortable, you know, and like, granted, they're at, you know, opposite ends of that particular sign. But sometimes I think of it like a guitar. Like if you strum the chord of Libra, Libra will vibrate. So here, Mercury and Venus actually have a nice opportunity in Mercury's challenge to have that conversation gently about what's been happening in relationships, where we're out of balance. So kind of under the challenge, there's also an ease that comes with Venus being so comfortable.
Yeah, she is in sign. That is true. And it's definitely a relational month as well, and having the conversations and not backing down. Like Libra does like to be, keep the peace and the harmony, but make sure, yeah, it's pushing the needle forward and not avoiding the conflict. Sure. Because, you know, I think if you avoid conflict under the squares and oppositions, especially to say Mars and Pluto, there can be a real sort of slap back or backlash, and it can explode a little in your face. So it's better just to take control and, mm-hmm. yeah, be relational in a beautiful, smooth Libran way. So we're lucky that it's in Libra, I think.
Yeah, I think so under that, because it does welcome back, you know, as Mercury comes out in Scorpio, you're going to see why you were annoyed.
Yes.
You're like, oh, okay. And then Mars comes out of retrograde and you can go handle it. Yay.
Yes, yes. So that's a real bonus. So let's go through to, we've pretty much done when opportunity knocks, what do you do? Open the door, write it in your diary and like, yeah, make the most of it that day. So that's all the trines and sextiles. We've got some beautiful ones from the sun. They were all the sun, yes. So what's on your coffee table, Stormy? What are you reading at the moment?
Yeah, well, okay. So a couple things, like every Korean language book ever right now, I feel like. and the fact is, I really am pumped to say it, that in those books that they're not astrological yet, the fact that it's just been a couple weeks and there are sentences and there are things in this book that is a completely different language and I can pick it up and start to sound out and read, that is so rewarding and fulfilling right now, you know, in a really incredible way. But the other thing that is back on my table is The Life of Pi. I recommended the book The Alchemist again to a client that I was working with, because it is my favorite book. It talks about, you know, your purpose, your legend, your personal legend. And in The Life of Pi, this examination of this higher power or this divine power. So we traded book suggestions. And even though I'd read it and interacted with it before, she said it to me, I heard it. And I was like, yep, we'll bring it back to the table and see, you know, that's the beauty of like all this retrograde stuff is like, even if I did it before, maybe I did it once because the answer was there, but I couldn't see it. It's okay for me to review it again and see if that space has been made in me to receive the message. So that's what's on. Those are what are on my table right now. And Kathy Rose is my mentor. So I'm also reading Noel Till's Synthesis and Counseling, which is only a small 700 pages. So.
But revisit is definitely the way, isn't it? That's, I mean, Mercury and Mars are retrograde.
Yeah.
And the next level of, you might have understood it to some level before, but you're probably going to like scoot round and get that next level as well.
Yeah. I mean, my gosh, in Scorpio season, like what messages are here that I didn't know I didn't get?
The deeper level.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe I wasn't even at that time, even if it was like a year ago, maybe my spirit or my mind or my whatever was not even mature enough at that time to receive it. And I have a different lens on right now. So I love the idea of during a retrograde, go back to a book that gave you a little spiritual awakening of your own, or like a warm and fuzzy, and see, because that's another thing, right? Like, does it still, or are you past that message? And then, you know, process of elimination, go back to that thing that just made it feel like home and magic, and does it still?
Yeah. And also I'm thinking, that makes me think, the things that you haven't but have wanted to read, maybe this is the time. That's a couple that my two books actually are those. I've had them on my table for a while and now it's time. So, and it helps me to think, oh, it's Scorpio season. It's time to actually revisit those now. So one is Mysteries of the Dark Moon, The Healing Power of the Dark Goddess by Demetra George, which I've meant to read for so long, and I've just started and I'm loving it. And she's surprised me with some of the things that she's put in there. So yeah, happy surprise there. Yay. And the other one is by Florence Given, who's English, and she's written Women Don't Owe You Pretty, and she is a Scorpio. So I thought that's perfect. She's taking back the power. I'm not sure what Demetra George is actually in terms of sun sign. Do you know, Stormy?
I don't know. No, I don't know.
I love knowing those things. So the next segment is key takeaway and monthly mantra. What's your key takeaway and your monthly mantra, Stormy?
Yeah, so gosh, I think my key takeaway for Scorpio season, honestly, is it's a fixed energy, right? So there are some things that have been rooted in us and we've maybe just not been able to see them, identify them, whatever, work with them yet. But as the Scorpio season is going on, let's look at some detox. Let's embrace the process of elimination or deductive reasoning. Bring that in, right? Are you where you want to be? Or does this still feel like it's in alignment with you? Because if not, you know, take Scorpio season to be as deeply passionate, but also I think as deeply petty as you need to be, because in your pettiness, that's freedom. If you can tell the truth about how freaking petty you're being and why, because it's usually fear that makes us really petty, right? There's freedom in seeing the truth of that. Right. And, yeah. And we get to, it comes back to that passionate elimination, right? Like, I don't need that anymore. What do you not need anymore? I guess I just like got inspired by that.
I like that. It's like peel the layers off. And you can only peel them off by facing the fear and facing the things, you know, face the demon. That's really the Scorpio and Pluto world, isn't it? Just turn around and face it. Like those dreams when you're running from the thing and the thing you're afraid of, if they always say, if you can just realize in the dream, turn around and face it and say, what do you want? Or just ask it and it changes everything. Total transformation moment, isn't it? Rather than fight it.
Yeah, it totally is. Because people talk about Scorpio being mysterious and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, they're so beautifully vulnerable that they're going to protect themselves from all levels of crazy, right? That are not of beneficial to them. So of benefit to them. So when you're turning around and you're facing that, that is like hands up, vulnerability, show me.
Yeah.
Oh, and that is, there's freedom and passion and gorgeous in that.
Yeah. I'm going with the key takeaway being vulnerability as well. Like get my Brené Brown on and might read a bit of that as well. She's got lots of great books. But yeah, other than stealth mode, I think peel the layers down into vulnerability basically and identify those layers and, you know, soften them with that water and release them. Also, remember where you do have to protect yourself. You know, it's a balance. It is a balance. You know, be vulnerable with those that have earned it. You know, Brené always says that. People that have earned your trust, you know, trust is and betrayal is such a pivot point for Scorpio season. So that's up to you to be discerning and me. And monthly mantra, I would say the ones that I wrote down, I just wrote better out than in and got to feel it to heal it.
Oh, that is so good. And Scorpio, I teach as the natural, therapist and counselor of the zodiac, because he's like, yeah, tell me all your deep dark secrets, we'll find a way out, you know. It's like so you got to feel it to heal it. Feels very appropriate under that energy for sure.
And what would your who's your spirit Scorpio for the month? What would your spirit Scorpio do to channel the ones that know? What's your monthly mantra?
So my spirit Scorpio for me is still, it's going to be Matthew McConaughey. And I just am going to, I'm going to spend Scorpio season, like looking up things that he said, you know, like, what does he say? What is he about? But I know that one thing he did say that I think ties in everything we're talking about. It says, instead of denying these fears, declare them, say them out loud, admit them, give them the credit that they deserve. That's where you'll find the courage to overcome them. And I also would tie in there, I desire to create, fill in the blank, because Scorpio is depth of desire and they're highly creative. So from what you see, what do you desire to create that taking that courageous step makes it worth it?
And put that power of desire behind you. That's a lot of energy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So really, you know, proclaim your life this month. Maybe that's my mantra. Just proclaim your life this month. Like, what do you got going on? What do you want to have going on?
Yeah. And own your power, as always, with anything to do with Scorpio or Pluto. Own your power. Just own it. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Own your power. And also remember, though, owning your power means if you're being a jerk, it's on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not owning it, is it? That's more like you're probably not owning it. That's
right.
Yeah. Externalizing right. It, thinking someone else has got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, whatever that power play maybe looks like for all of us, each of us this month, because that's not a projection of me onto other people. It's like, if I'm being a jerk, I got to own that and go as well on this side too. So.
It is actually right. Owning it is definitely, I mean, that's Pluto to you. It's about, I've noticed people with really, obvious Pluto placements, that's their thing. They're really into getting you and themselves to own that stuff. Like they thrive on it. They need it and they'll push you until you do.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm of the Pluto Libra generation. Mm-hmm. So in my interaction, I have a lot of Libra and in my interactions with people, I am quick for both of us to own each of our parts. I'm like, that's not about me. That's about you. Oh, that is not about you. That is about me. Because that's how we're going to get through it.
Yes. Yeah, that balance, isn't it? I've got Pluto and Libra as well on the earlier end of it. And yeah, I guess in relationship, isn't it? Like that's where you come across that hidden thing.
Oh, yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah.
Projecting. I love it. It's like that's a hobby, isn't it? Being able to do that. It's just... continually rewarding.
Continually transformational.
Yes. And it just keeps on giving. That brings us to a close of our Scorpio season. So what do you have on this month, Stormy? Tell us.
Oh man, well, the eat and greets are still going live and strong over on my YouTube channel. You can also catch them if you're a Patreon person, ad-free or on the podcast. And you'll actually be coming over to do an eat and greet with me on my channel on the 12th. So looking forward to that. But lots of beautiful astrologers showing up who want to teach and want to talk. Omari Martin will be here. So Nal will be talking about Vedic astrology. Matthew We Met will be coming. I mean, we just have Judith Hill, people just coming in to open and be vulnerable with us during this beautiful Scorpio season over on my channel. So come check it out. Enjoy. Bring a snack. Come learn with us.
Come and snack. And yeah, we'll be on talking about the solar seasons and the sun and celebrating my new book, of course, coming out this month. My second baby is a Scorpio on the 5th of November. And we're going to be talking on the day that Jupiter conjunct Pluto happens.
Yeah, so we're going to make it work, right?
Yes. And so that's my big news. I'm just looking up what's coming up actually for Astrology University since Tony is not with us this month. So on the 24th of October, there's the Finger of God, the Nature of the Astrological Yod with Mark Jones. Another webinar on the 28th of November, Natal Chart Synthesis 201. Tony will be taking that with Frank Clifford. 28th of October to November 22, The Inner Planets. Frank and Tony, November 7. Oh, there's so much. No, Astrology as a Therapeutic Art, Healing Human Relationships with Greg Bogart. November 14, Forecasting Triggers, The Unfolding of Potential with Frank Clifford. And then we're into Sag season, so I'll leave it at that. So some really great webinars coming up there. And yeah, so I have my book. I'm going to be on with you, Stormy, on the 12th. And of course, we both do readings. So Yeah, we're available. And that wraps us up. Thank you so much again, Stormy, for filling in for Tony. It was great to have a prequel chat with you, actually.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's like I was looking at the calendar today, actually, right? And I was like, oh, Venus is trine Pluto. And I got up this morning and I was like, who's coming my direction? Like, what is going on? You know, and then I get this message from Tony and he's like, can you fill in for me? And I'm like, yes, literally been waiting to see what manna from heaven was going to drop down here with this trine. And so it was just so welcome. And I just really enjoy you and Tony and love what you're doing. So thank you for having me to your space.
Oh, thank you so much. And I love what you're doing too. We've met a few times already. So yeah, you're on my top of my mental list, as I was saying, for someone to co-host this with me. So thank you so much. And everyone else, have a really great Scorpio season and stay cosmic until next time. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.